Our study this morning comes from Matthew, the 25th chapter, beginning in verse 14, and this is the parable of the talents. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that hath received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I would have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And we'll begin our study of this parable and really want to ask this question. Where do some members of the Lord's church bury their talents? And we'll begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning, yes sir, to PFE, and we all know we should be doing just exactly that, preparing for eternity. And now we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, here in Martinsville, as we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes, and we strive to worship God in spirit with a proper attitude, but also in truth, in accordance to the New Testament pattern, John 4:24. I can assure you, you will receive a warm welcome. Something else to mention, we always are looking forward to having Bible studies. So if you're interested, please let us know and we'll set it up at your convenience. If you have Bible questions, comments, positive or negative, again, you can send those to us. Our address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Let's get to our study of Matthew chapter 25, as we just read a moment ago, verses 14 through 30. And this is, of course, the parable of the talents. And we want to focus in on a part of the parable here in particular, and that is of the one talent man who buried his talent. And thus, as we want to make the spiritual application to ourselves, are we burying our talents as members of the Lord's church? And sad to say, there are a number of us who are doing just that. So we notice here that this parable is likened to the kingdom of heaven, verses 14 and 15, as was the parable of the 10 virgins as well. And notice his own servants. Yes, they were delivered his goods, verse 14. And thus representing the fact that God's people in the Lord's church have been blessed by God with his goods according to our ability. And God did not overlook anyone. To every man, that's right. And he gives generously, does he not? And notice the man went away, took his journey. That is, God has left us with his goods and expects us to do something with them. What was done with the master's goods? Verses 16 through 18, we see two servants were faithful and fruitful. But notice what one servant did. He buried his talent in the earth. So this is why I would like for us this morning to again consider this question. Where do some members of the Lord's church bury their talents? And we'll start with this one. As some talents are buried under a big mound of inferiority. That's right. So the Lord desires for you and me to serve. If we're in the Lord's church, of course we're to serve God. If we're not in the Lord's church, we better obey the gospel before it's everlasting too late. But for those of us who are, we need to be serving. We know that God is all-powerful. We should know that, every one of us. Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. That's right. God's power is unlimited. But God's power will not do certain things, not because it's limited, oh no, but because it's not consistent with God's nature, with his purpose, as we see in Psalm 78. So, God allows suffering and evil to be in this world. That would be an example. God's powerful, of course, all powerful, without limitation. But he allows suffering and evil to be in this world in order to be consistent with his nature. He gives us the opportunity to choose. We have free moral agency, that is. And God is not going to save those who do not obey. There's another example of God's power not doing certain things because it's not consistent with his nature or purpose. Remember Captain Naaman? He didn't think it would do any good to dip those many times in the Jordan River. Dip seven times, wasn't it? And you'll be cleansed. Well, he didn't see the need to do that. But thankfully he had a servant that did. And he changed his mind and went and dipped seven times in the Jordan River, and he came out cleansed. Well, the same is true in obeying the gospel. We need to contact the blood of Christ to be cleansed of our sins. And if we refuse to do so, we're going to remain in our sins, despite God being all-powerful. So, since God has entrusted Christians to carry forth the gospel, we must not feel inferior to the task. Who has the truth? Who knows about the true church of the Bible and knows the plan of salvation in accordance to the Scriptures? How we're to worship God in accordance to the Scriptures? How the church is organized in accordance to the Scriptures? And the work of the church in accordance to the Scriptures? You see, we need to share with others the good news of how Jesus Christ died for our sins and makes it possible for our salvation through our obedience to the gospel. And certainly we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. Of course, Paul wasn't ashamed of the gospel, Romans 1:16. And something else to mention here would be, we must not be ashamed as we are workmen in the Lord's church, 2 Timothy 2:15. But study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth, of course. Yes, we need not to be ashamed. Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So one person has influence. Yes, that's right. One person has influence. Paul certainly had good influence, and he could say, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." 1 Corinthians 11:1. So if someone follows my example as a Christian, what kind of servant will they be? If someone follows your example as a Christian, if you're a member of the Lord's church, what kind of servant will they be? That's a good question for all of us to ask ourselves. So, we don't want to bury our abilities, our talents, under a big mound of inferiority. Of course not. Now, number two, as again we're asking the question, where do some members of the Lord's church bury their talents? Well, here's another place that is being used for a burial ground. Some talents are buried under a mound of ignorance. Yes, notice verse 24 again. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, "Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed." That is, spreading seed, scattering seed. He was ignorant of the Lord's nature. And so are many today. He was not knowledgeable of his Lord in a true sense. He had a misconception. He thought his Lord was hard. He forgot how good his Lord was to give his servant his goods in verse 14. You know, many people fear God but will not allow God to reign over them. Now, this one talent man is an example of that. We are stewards of the Lord's goods. As we are blessed with money, health, opportunities to teach others the gospel, do we know what the Lord requires of us? Well, in the Old Testament, Micah 6:8, to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Are we walking in the light as he is in the light? We must be, in order to be a profitable servant. 1 Corinthians 4:1, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Are we faithfully using our talents? You see, ignorance will not save us. Oh no, that's not going to work on the day of judgment, is it? Notice what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's right. We must be doing his will, not claiming ignorance. In John 8:31-32, Jesus said to those disciples, those Jews rather, who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We got to continue though. So let's not bury our abilities, our talents under a mound of ignorance. There's no excuse for that. Let's study God's word every day. Feed upon it. Now, here's the third one, where again, some members of the Lord's church are burying their talents under a big mound of fear. That's where some talents are buried, under a big mound of fear. I was afraid, verse 25, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Well, notice, there's a right kind of fear. And that is Ecclesiastes 12:13, the whole duty of man is to fear God and to keep his commandments. Respect God. Love God. But that doesn't mean we're to hide from God. Jonah tried that, remember? And where did that get him? He took off to Spain, ended up in a whale's belly. That didn't work for Jonah, and it's not going to work for us either. Yes, sir. So, let's notice, we are to trust God, again, respect God, that type of fear, and to keep his commandments, which are not grievous, 1 John 5:3. So good stewardship obviously is commanded. And our respect for God, again, that's the right kind of fear. And of course, understanding his goodness and mercy and love for us, that should motivate us to serve him. We must trust God and respect his word. Deuteronomy 13:4, ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. That's the right kind of fear, isn't it? Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Jesus, remember, after calming the storm, said this to his disciples, Mark 4:40. He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Well, we don't want the Lord saying that of us, do we? No, sir. In Revelation 21:8 is a list that we don't want any part of. And who is listed first? The fearful. That's the wrong kind of fear. I was afraid and went and hid thy talent. No, sir. We don't want that kind of fear. Jesus warns in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That again is the right kind of fear. But we don't want to be guilty of the type of fear that the one talent man had. When we suffer as a Christian, God is glorified. 1 Peter 4:16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. We need not fear man, what he can do to us. Yes, he may lock us up for preaching and teaching the truth, but we better not allow that to take us away from pleasing God, from glorifying God. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Of course it is. Preparing for eternity is the most important thing we could be doing, regardless of what our society says. Think about it. Now, here's the fourth one. to look at. Again, we're looking at where some are bearing their talents. We've seen under ignorance, a mound of ignorance, a mound of fear, a mound of inferiority. And now, notice, under a mound of procrastination. That's where some are bearing their talents. I'll get around to it. You know, I've seen a wooden circular piece of like a coin that had round to it on it, T-U-I-T. And I thought, well, that'd be good for our wives to give us when we keep saying, I'll get around to it. But this is much more serious, isn't it? Procrastinating doing the Lord's work, the work of the church. I'll get around to it. That's not going to please God. Christ will come again, as the Bible states. John 14, you know, Jesus told his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The Lord's coming again. And he's going to take back with him those that are prepared to the prepared place, which is heaven. Well, what if I hadn't gotten around to it when the Lord comes again, when it's too late? 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We're not judged as nations. The nations are gathered before him, and we're judged as individuals. And we better understand that. We're all going to give an account for what we have done. Not our parents, not the preacher, elders of the church, or those we're acquainted with. It's our own responsibility to do what we can now with the abilities that we have, which God has given us. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6:10. How many more opportunities will pass us by before we get around to it? That's right. We need to answer that question, all of us. If we're putting off doing the Lord's work, standing up for the truth, defending the faith, not being ugly about it, but caring about lost souls who are dying in sin, dying in their sins, because they've swallowed the woke ideology, the cancel culture that's going on. All these things that are ungodly, getting people away from the truth, from the will of God. This is where we're headed, isn't it? Well, are we burying our abilities under a big mound of procrastination? What about people that haven't obeyed the gospel? I'll get around to it. I want to live it up for a while. Well, what about the crop you're going to reap, that you're sowing sinful activities are going to reap a bad crop? Obey the gospel now. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put that off, and live the best life possible. There's going to be a day of reckoning for us all. We see that here in the parable, verses 19 through 30. And those who know not God and obey not God, those who know not God and do not obey God, they have something to fear. But those who know God and obey God will not have to fear on that great day. They'll rejoice and be glad in the appearance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Every person needs to hear the gospel. As Christians, what are we doing to spread the gospel of Christ? Have we buried our Lord's goods? If so, we need to dig them up and get busy in the Lord's work. That's right. Each one of us must give an account for our stewardship. Will we have an abundance of fruit to the glory of God, as that 10-talent man did? Or will what we have be taken away from us, as it was with the 1-talent man when the Lord returns? What do we want to hear on that day? Are we showing it by the way we live, that we want to hear that, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Yes, thou hast been made faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Do we not all want to hear that? Well, let's live like we do and not bury our abilities and talents. And so, as we conclude our study this morning, have you obeyed the gospel? Have you become a child of God? As one must hear the truth, that's how our faith comes. Romans 10:17, we must believe that Jesus is the Christ. He died for our sins, making it all possible. As we know, that must be certainly believed. And then once we believe that Jesus is the Christ, we're motivated, should be, to repent, making that change of wills, Luke 13:3-5. And then we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10. And now, having confessed that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God before others, we're ready to be immersed into a watery grave where we contact the precious blood of Christ that washes away our sins. As Ananias told Saul, "Why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord," that is, his authority. Have we submitted to the authority of Christ? That's Acts 22:16. Once we're baptized into Christ, he then adds us to his body. We're not joining a church. We're added to the body of Christ by the Lord himself. Acts 2:47. Now, we need to use our abilities, serving God faithfully, even if it meant dying for the cause of Christ. We have the victory, Revelation 2:10. And we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel of Christ. It's the most important thing we could do. We can study further with you and go over the scriptures. We need to know by the scriptures, not what someone has told us. They could be wrong. I could be wrong. But the scripture, the Bible, is always right. And let's stay with what God says. We thank you so much for listening today.